Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
The Bible is filled with hero stories, but there's been something that's been on my mind and my heart lately, and I'm like, this is a simple one for me to share. So I'm going to start reading here. Verse 1. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but it was his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Okay, go. Call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? Well, I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him, "Stay with them." And he stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Amen. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming onto this earth and experiencing everything that we experience. All the trials, the pain, the tribulations, that you felt it all. You know exactly how we feel this morning. You know exactly what we need to hear this morning. We need your love and encouragement. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're piercing our heart right now. Your word is a double-edged sword that literally will cut through all the stuff that we've got going on. Speak through me this morning, God. Please teach us, convict us, love us, encourage us. We need all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. So who is my hero in this story? Any guess?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Wrong. That's what I set up to do. I met with Martino and we were talking about it because like we know, he preached last week about a hero. And so we met a couple weeks ago and we were talking about who are you going to preach about? Who's your hero? You know, and I was like, man, Jesus is my hero. Like, I want to do everything. I want to live for Jesus. He's my hero. But in my preparation time, my heart showed me that actually, we know how good Jesus is, but I saw and heard and experienced my heart. My gaze was fixed on a broken woman that heard and was obedient. And things happened because of an imperfect person, a woman even. And I was like, she's my hero. And I want to share about her this morning. So you're right. I knew you were going to say Jesus. Because it's obvious. But our heroes are often who we see on TV, who we see on YouTube, who we hear on our podcasts. Those become our heroes. And we got to be careful. There's a trap that the world is setting for us. And every really good trap has a little bait that you take before that thing snaps and grabs a hold of you and literally kills you fast or slow. It's different. Each trap's different. The first thing I want to talk about is this woman's courage. I love courage. We all have stuff going on. We all come into this church and we go, "Hey, how you doing?" "Good." "How's things?" "Great." "How's your life?" "Never better." Everything's perfect. That's what we do. I do it. I do it all the time. What I read in this scripture was not everything was good for this woman at the time of this, when this was written. Not everything was good. Actually, it's far from the truth. This woman is going through a tough time. She approaches the well at noon, it says. Why would she approach the well at noon? Or what does that mean to us, actually? What does that mean? She approached the well at noon. Oh, well, would she sleep in? She went at noon? Like, I do that stuff. Sleep in, do laundry around noon, you know? Here's the point, is that actually, if we think about where this is taking place in a hot Middle Eastern area. Desert. Hot. Not hot like we know, not hotter than Death Valley. California, Death Valley, Bakersfield, Fresno, all these great places that heat up. Like this, I'm talking this place where she's at has nothing on that heat. It's hotter. She's going to the well at noon. It's hot, undesirable. Why is she going out at noon? And the fact of the matter is all the other women had gone to the well earlier in the morning when it was cool. But she's not welcome around those women. Because one thing I know that I've heard about so many times is they say, oh, the prostitute at the well. I hear that all the time. The prostitute at the well. I didn't personally read the scripture saying that she's a prostitute. What I've heard is she's had 5 husbands, and the man that she's currently with is not her husband. So I don't know if the man she's with is somebody else's husband, or if she's just not married and she's just with somebody that, you know, they're not married. They're living together. I don't know. Does it matter? She's been married 5 times, and now she's with someone else. What does that tell me? Life is not going spectacular for her. She's struggling. I just know that Allison's my second wife, and my life has been hard. Not because I've been dealt bad cards, because I've made it hard. I have made my life hard by not just being obedient to the Lord. My choice. Despite the social stigma and her personal shame that she was facing, she's still getting out and doing life. I don't know about you, but I've had friends that have ended their lives because life was too hard. I have seen and heard about many people that just give up because life is hard. And I'm just picturing this woman going to the well at noon in the heat of the day. It's like, man, you might as well. She's probably had dark thoughts about ending her life. Like, I should just give up. I'm not worthy of love. I'm just not. This is too hard for me. I'm over this. Can you guys relate? So coming to the well alone in the heat of the day is showing me that she's got some courage, that she's still walking through a tough time in life. Her perseverance through life and not giving up, I know this, led her to the well that morning to meet Jesus. And I just want to encourage you, if you're going through a tough patch right now, don't give up. Just keep going through your steps. And I guarantee you, what happened for me is I just put one foot in front of the other, and one day I bumped into Jesus. Literally, like this lady went to the well, and who was sitting there? Jesus. I'm telling you, in my own house, I don't even know why I got down on my knees, and I just cried out to a God that I don't even know. Jesus, I need you. Man, and he showed up. He was there with me at that moment, and we had a discussion, and I've been on a new path ever since. A path that I don't deserve. But he loves me, and he loves you. What were some of the things that this lady might have been feeling, right? And I'm just thinking that she was feeling so dirty and unwanted at this point. Five men? Why didn't the first husband just adore her and keep her like a prize? I've messed up. I told you I'd been married twice. And there's a reason for that. But I'm just telling you right now, we should honor our wives like more precious than gold, rubies, more precious than any gem, more precious than any money that I could ever earn. Like, it's my thing. It's what we should do. She's feeling dirty, unwanted. How about this? Ugly? I read an article yesterday, and this woman, she says, I remember in grade school, the first time someone called me ugly. She said a girl just was like, you're ugly. And she shared a story about walking out of the room, going to the woman's bathroom and looking in the mirror. And from that day forward, until she met Jesus, she felt ugly and like no one liked her because one person spoke that into her life. People were showing this lady, like men were letting her go. She was, probably felt ugly. Men didn't want her around. Maybe they did for one reason. Women definitely didn't want her around because they didn't trust her around the men, probably. She's not good enough in her mind, is I'm thinking. I'm just not good enough. I'm not like all the other women that are okay in society. Some emotions that she was feeling. Can you guys relate to this? Embarrassment, guilt, humiliation, regret, self-disgust, being self-conscious, defensive, angry, lonely. You guys ever felt that kind of stuff? She showed courage by not running away from all that. She kept going. And it led her to a divine appointment that led to breakthrough for her life. Something changed. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And this is important encouragement because as I'm reading this scripture, I'm feeling like, man, I've been where that lady has been. I felt like that. The Lord says, be strong, be courageous. And that's what she was doing. Do not be afraid. The Lord goes with you. Can you guys say that? The Lord goes with you. Well, let's make it personal. The Lord goes with me. Amen. Like her, we can find courage to confront our struggles and emotions and seek help. Let's seek help. If you're feeling like just life is not perfect right now, ask for help. Stop holding it in. Let's have a divine encounter with the Lord. God uses our courage to inspire others to overcome their challenges. Let's hurry up to overcome our challenge. Like, let's be like, not that it happens fast, but let's be hungering to overcome all these challenges. Because when we know and we overcome, then it's our testimony that helps others. I am so ready and down just to continue to get over all my stuff so I can help you. There's only one reason that God has trusted me to stand up here with you guys. It has nothing to do with me being special or being adequate or being like a theologian or anything like that. I'm not a theologian. Nothing. The reason why he has me up here and he's trusting me is because I've been willing to continue to grow more and more towards him and towards his goodness. That's all I want to do. And he's like, all right, I'm going to trust you up there. That's what's going on. So if you see like, man, this guy's broken. He's not a pastor. Whatever. Say what you will. But I'm up here because he trusts me. Our testimonies of the journey that led us to Jesus have the power to save. If you just share how you met Jesus to someone that doesn't know Jesus, that has power. We take that for granted. Like, oh, I don't have anything to say. Come to my church, talk to Pastor Matt. He can tell you. No. Forget about me. You have the power to save with Jesus in you. Share your testimony. I met Jesus here. It took man and God to speak life into her helpless situation. And she chose to listen, to receive, and to be healed. What courage. When I say it took man and God, because we know that Jesus was God, fully man, fully God. So it takes man, it took a man, and it took God. So it takes us to share our testimony, to share our sin, to open up. It takes man, and then we invite God, and healing begins. Amen? Point two, the willingness to have a random encounter. I'm blown away that this lady didn't just see this guy like as she's approaching the well. She should have just saw him kind of like, oh man, I can't today. I don't want to hear another word about who I am, how I'm not good enough. I'm gonna come back around one. I'm gonna go back to my spot. But she didn't. She was willing to have a random encounter. How often do we see people and turn the other way? Instead of running towards it and having a random encounter, whether it be you speak life into them or they speak life into you, it goes both ways. I have random encounters where I meet guys that have got more Jesus going on at that moment than I do. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's just kind of churchy talk, but yeah, I think you guys get what I'm saying. Sometimes I run into guys and they just got more Jesus than I do, and they share it. And sometimes I see some people, I got way more Jesus than they do because they're down, and I share Jesus. Random encounters. Was it planned? Most of the times, people I've never even met. I went to the beach this week, ran into a guy. He had a dog. I had my dogs. We had our kids, da-da-da. And he says, I'm a pastor from the Sacramento area. And this guy's about 10 years older than me and some wisdom. And he got to speak life into my heart, into my spirit. I wasn't down and out. I wasn't like hurting. I was actually having a great morning. I'm still ready to receive. If you got more of Jesus right now, come on. I need more healing. Random. Instead of me just being like, dude, I'm not talking to you, bro. Like, me and my girls are over here with the dogs. Can you please just, you know how we do? Please, come on. Can I have my space, please? I came over, invaded my space, and I loved it. I had a Lighthouse church. He goes, oh, church? Oh, your guys' church? Where's that at? It's in San Bruno, right, you know, over the hill. Oh, that's great. I'm a pastor at my church, he said. I said, a pastor? So am I. So we had there it went. A random encounter. She says, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Give me this water that you're talking about, Jesus. You're saying you have a water that you will never be thirsty again. She's like, what are you talking about? Give me that water because I'm tired of walking through the sun. I'm tired of doing all the things I have to do. I'm tired of life. Are you telling me you can give me a water and I won't have to do this anymore? Even deeper, I believe that in her heart she felt like, are you telling me you can give me something like a pill that will make me feel better? Like Jesus is, she was thinking Jesus was the big pharma rep. A pill is going to make you feel better. But isn't it exciting to think that I can take a sip of water and then I won't have to cut like this is, I won't be thirsty anymore. She opens up to a Jewish man breaking all kinds of cultural rules. Like it doesn't even make sense. They didn't talk. But she did it. He did it. A random encounter. So what I'm trying to say is there a racial something that you don't like being around? Is there a color skin that makes you crawl? Is there a type of person that smells a certain way that you don't like that you just won't have a random encounter with? Like, you know it right now. I will never have a random encounter with this type of person. Just won't. That's the type of situation that's going on here. Jesus had an encounter with this woman. The woman had an encounter with Jesus, and it shouldn't have been. But they did. Can we do that? Can I go to the Tenderloin next Saturday and have an encounter with a dude that's strung out on fentanyl that smells like crap because he hasn't showered and his clothes are unclean? Can I do that? Am I going to be able to do that? The encounter that they had not only transforms her, but also deepens her understanding of God. When we have encounters, when I had an encounter with this pastor and I submitted to his authority, like, dude, this guy's been pastoring way longer than me. And I can tell that this guy's serious about he's in the Word of God. He's been transformed by Jesus. I can tell. I can feel it. Me listening to him not only was transforming how I felt, it changed the way I see God. She was willing for just a moment to listen to another human being ask questions about her. speak truth about her, and listen to suggestions that would change the whole trajectory of her life. She was willing. How many of us are willing to let someone else speak to us about our life? Don't talk to me. Don't tell me about my situation. You don't know me. You don't know nothing about me. You don't know about me and my mom. You don't know about me and my boys. You don't know about me and my wife. Who are you to speak life into me? Hold on. That's my point this morning. If we run into some people that are willing to talk to us, maybe ask the Holy Spirit, should I be listening? Should I listen? Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Let's just submit. Instead of having our hearts so hard, we miss these divine encounters, these random moments where Jesus wants to use that person to speak to us. Say, I don't hear God audibly. I have not heard God's voice audibly. It's because you missed out on that brother that was going to speak to you what God told him to speak to you, and that lady that was going to share with you, but you didn't have time. It's like, I don't hear from God like you do, Pastor. You do. You're just pushing them out of the way. Just a thought. Something to ponder. Something to pray about. Our willingness to engage with others, regardless of difference, can lead to profound encounters that will change your life. Just be willing. Ask God, can I be willing? Give me the willingness to run into some stranger and have a convo. All right. The third point that I was like, man, this lady is, she's hero status. Hero status. I love this lady. Because of her instant influence. It says, the woman runs to her town to share her experience with Jesus. She's at the well. It's like 197,000 degrees. And she runs. What? She runs. And to me, it's painting the picture of this. I am excited about what Jesus has done in my life. So what do I do on Sunday mornings? I get up at an undesirable time. The alarm goes off at an undesirable time. I wake up. I go get in my word and devote myself to God and hear from him and what he has to say to me. And then I wake up my family. We get prepared to come here before you guys get here to set stuff up. And then I do my best to preach a message that I truly feel inadequate and like unable to do in my flesh. But I love God so much. And I'm running because of what he's done in my life. And I'm getting up when I don't want to get up. And I'm attaching that trailer and bringing it here when I don't want to. 8 years we've been bringing that trailer. I'm sick of it. But I'm running because of what Jesus did. And God goes, was I sick of you in your filth? Nope. So stop complaining and serve me because I love you and love others. That's what I hear. That's what my heart says. Everything I just told you, ask my wife. I say that stuff to her all the time. And she giggles at me and she reminds me, Jesus loves you. And she's right. I run. This lady's running in the heat. It's my point. This is not a desirable thing. What is she running to? Who is she running to? All the people that she was avoiding. All the haters. All the doubters. All the mean people. She's running to them to give them good news? What? This lady's actually, love thy enemy. Love your neighbor. What? She has an encounter with Jesus at the well, and suddenly she's following the commandments of God just like that? Because it's the Spirit of God that was flowing through her because of a random encounter and her obedience. Let's run.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.